You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Friday, and it's time for our Friday financial update with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. And Brian, thanks again for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
How did you survive your first week of the NFL?
I won my fantasy football week, so that was a good thing.
There you go.
I totally destroyed my son's friend that joined our league, so I'm feeling a bit bad about that, but a win's a win. You know?
Well, I'm glad I gave you some bragging rights. Nice job. Well, last week we took some time to talk about student loans, and the topic's really deep enough. I mean, quite honestly, I'm sure you and I could spend a full hour on it, but we're going to dive a little deeper today.
Yeah, and last week we talked about, as you're making a college decision and you're looking for a good school for your child or for yourself, you know, that there's never a perfect school, but there may be a perfect fit, and not to ignore the financial aspects of that, right? That, you know, the cost of the school should be a key factor in doing the planning to understand what you can afford. So I thought we'd talk a little bit further today about sort of the three ways that people pay for school once they've actually chosen the right university.
All right. Let's start with number one.
Yeah. So the first thing is what we talk about a lot as investors, which is to save for the expense. And we've talked before about 529 education savings plans, and there's other options. There's what are called UTMA accounts, UTMAs, that are a way to save for a young person. There's a lot of different options out there, but one of the challenges, a lot of people don't start early enough. So the biggest theme on saving in my mind, aside from the different tools available, is just to get started, whether that's putting, you know, $50 a month in an education savings plan when you have a new child or when a new grandchild might be born, to, you know, it's never too late. So if you've got an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old in the house or as a grandchild, you know, getting something going today is better than waiting another month or another year to get started.
Right, or even taking the opportunity at a very young age, whether they're five or, you know, if there's anyone out there who still does, like, you know, the, I know when I was growing up, and $5 went a lot farther back in the 70s and 80s, but, you know, $5 a week, 50 cents in the college jar. You know, and eventually when, I don't know how big that needs to be before you go and see someone, like yourself to, you know, make that money work for itself. But really it's really never too early.
Right. And the key is to do something. And what we hear a lot from parents is that they'd rather have the grandparents contribute, let's say $100 every birthday for their child, to a college plan, then have another $100 worth of gifts and Legos and toys and video games in the house. So thinking of that as an alternative to buying more stuff for your grandchild, maybe you put more money in an education account. So for a lot of folks, their savings and what they've accumulated for college goes a long way. The second tool for college funding is grants. So there's two primary types of grants. There's the more merit-based, you know, things like scholarships, athletic and academic, can go a long way. I know for me, almost half of my college tuition was covered by merit-based scholarships for academics. So that really paid off. And then there's the more need-based grants, showing that your family's of an income that you could use some support. And there's federal grants that can come in and help. Pell grants are the biggest ones there, and they're worth about $7,400 a year, so that can go a long way. And the key with grants is you don't pay grants back. They are a grant. They are a gift, basically. In some cases, a gift you earn, and sometimes a gift that you receive because of need. But if you haven't saved enough, you know, being aggressive looking for those grants and applying for them becomes very important.
And then I'm making this up, but, and I've never done grant searching, but, you know, I mean, if you're an electrician in local whatever, might that local whatever have a grant for the children of the workers there?
Yeah, and actually my dad was a union carpenter, and my siblings and I have received small scholarships through that organization. We have one client that gives to a scholarship fund. He owns manufactured home parks. And so there's a scholarship fund they created just for children who are residing in manufactured home communities. So there's a lot of different tools out there in terms of scholarships. The most common thing you see is when you fill out the FAFSA, the F-A-F-S-A, FAFSA form, as you apply for college, that's one of the steps as you go to the federal government and fill out that form. That will help you understand what you qualify for at the federal level, and then you can be creative in exploring what might apply to you in terms of local unique scholarships and opportunities there.
You know, when it comes to the paper, I don't know if it's a phobia of mine. Is that a common thing for people, Brian, that, you know, I don't know how to go find a grant. How could I do that? I mean, is it a lot easier than people maybe fear?
Yeah, I think so. And some of those scholarships, you might have to write an essay or fill out a special application, but it's probably worth your time, even if it's a $500 or $1,000 scholarship and it takes a couple hours. I mean, that's time well worth it. And a lot of those renew year after year, so it could be worth a lot more. So definitely worth pursuing. And what that does is it helps limit how much you have to do from the third way to fund education, which is one everyone talks about, which is student loans. So you save, you get your grants, and then whatever's left is usually done with debt. And all three of these are discussed, Steve, in the video we recorded. We had a 45-minute interview with a financial planner friend of ours who specializes in this area of college, whether it's, you know, saving for college, getting grants, as well as student loan debt. And he helps a lot on the backside for people who already have student loan debt as well. And he covered all of these topics in pretty good depth in our 45-minute video. That's going to post early next week on our Insights tab. He just did a fabulous job going into these topics and helping provide some basics in education, at least giving people a place to start when it comes to either, you know, getting prepared for college or, again, handling the debt on the back end if you had to use loans.
Yeah, and a reminder to our listener, we mentioned the Insights tab just about every week, but that is a no-cost resource available at johnmoore.com. Just click on Insights and watch for that coming up early next week. So we've walked through 1, 2, and 3, and again, those, if you want to review those or share those with someone, that video that shows up early next week, Brian, that'd be a great way to do it, yeah?
Absolutely. And then I think, Steve, you and I will be together for an hour at the end of the month on the 27th, so we can maybe go a little deeper into some of these topics then as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Well, thanks to Brian Cochran and the whole team at John Moore Associates for the work put into the resource, you know, the information available to us and our weekly updates. Brian, so much look forward to that. And I hope your week two in the NFL goes as well as your week one.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Have a great weekend. And thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.